Oh, hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Matthew 12th chapter. We'll start there. Praise God. I just thank God for His presence. I thank Him for the corporate anointing. And I don't know if you know this or not, but whenever you're in the anointing, it helps immensely. The corporate anointing helps immensely when you're ministering. Because just sitting over there, all of a sudden, the manifestation of the Spirit starts manifesting. And it's wonderful. I love it. I'm talking and teaching on the line of confession brings possession. And I'd like to continue from last week. We'll start here in Matthew 12, verse 34. It's the Amplified, and he has it up here. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You offsprings of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil, wicked? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." I love that translation. I think it sheds more light than any translation that I have record of. But it says out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. Verse 35 says, "A good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things." Another translation says for that word treasure, the inner good treasure, it's also translated as deposit. Out of the innermost deposit of a man's heart, that's what's going to come out of a man's heart, whether good or bad. Verse 36 says, "But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account." Please get a hold of this. "For every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak." You're going to give an account for every idle, inoperative, and non-working word that you speak. So it's vital to know that your words carry power. And it's vital to know that your words work for you, or they work against you. And it's up to you. And like the Amplified Bible saying here, you can have words that are idle, words that are inoperative, words that are not working at all for you. And he goes on to say here that by your words, you're going to be justified, and by your words, you're going to be acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned and sentenced. Now, I shared in last week's lesson on the righteousness of which is of faith in Romans 10 speaks on this wise, say not in your heart, you know, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Paul goes on to say, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee." It's in your heart, or in your mouth first and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Then he went on to say, "If you shall confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now, I shared the simple illustration of a person who's not saved. When he hears the message, he has a decision to make, whether accept the message of the gospel, which is good news, or reject it. If he doesn't accept it, he's automatically rejecting it. His words can determine his sentence, just like what the Amplified is saying here. By your words, you will be condemned, and by your words, you'll be sentenced. In other words, if a person will not confess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, the rejection of that message
sentences him for the lack of confession or receiving Jesus as Lord. All he has to do is make the decision to say, yes, I receive Jesus, and make that declaration, Jesus, you are my Lord, you are my Savior. The same is true with healing, and I shared that last teaching. Jesus is your healer, and you could actually just get healed by saying, Jesus, I confess you as my healer. Amen. Just like I confessed you as my Lord and my Savior. And like I said before, I try to make it as simple as I can. I strive to get people healed. Mm-hmm. Now, I usually share testimonies. In this service here, I'm going to share a testimony. I ministered to my sister-in-law, and this was years ago. My wife and I were invited down, and her name was Linda. We were invited down for a Sunday dinner. It was just me and my wife. That's my my brother-in-law, Paul, which is my wife's older brother, and his wife. They invite us down for Sunday dinner. So we're having dinner. We eat dinner. We're finished with dinner. My wife and his brother went into the kitchen. I don't know if they're getting dessert ready or whatever. But I'm sitting at the dining room table with my sister-in-law, and we're just talking. And she's going like this with her hands and all. And I'm noticing she's got this big lump on her wrist, on her right wrist, and it's right here. And it's a big cyst. The base of it's about the size of a nickel. So I asked her, I says, Linda, what is that? She says, well, it's a cyst. She says, I've had it cracked and drained a couple times, but every time they crack it and drain it, it comes back and it gets bigger. So I started to minister to her about healing. And I shared simply that Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I said, Linda's, that's an oppression of the devil. Any sickness, any disease against the body is an oppression of the devil. Doesn't mean you have a devil, but it's an oppression of the devil. It's a result of man's fall, and it's an attack against your physical body. And I'm sharing this with her about Jesus came to take that for you. And I says, actually, he was pronounced a curse as he hung on the cross for you. Well, as I was sharing this, I mean, she took heed to what I was saying. And I said that Jesus said that I can curse that. He's given the believer the right to take authority over sickness and disease. And I told her, I said, Jesus cursed the fig tree. And he says, you shall not only do what I've done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain. So I says, I could curse that for you, and I believe the Lord will heal you. And she goes, go ahead, just like that. I'm sitting across from the dining room table. I was not expecting that. Because my wife and I tried to lead them to the Lord for I don't know how many years, okay? And as soon as she said this, this thought flashed into my mind. You've been trying to get her saved all these years. Now you're going to pray for her, and she ain't going to get healed, and she ain't going to want anything to do with it. I'm honest to God, and it was about that real when I heard that. Somebody says, well, what did you do? I ignored it. I've never ministered to somebody without issues in my mind as far as fight and doubt. Amen. You got to step out by faith. So when she did that like that, I ignored what she said, and I put my index finger on that cyst, and I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I say, I curse you in Jesus' name, cyst. I command you, dry up and go and be planted in the sea in Jesus' name. I said, now, Lord, I said, you said you would confirm your word with signs following. I shared the gospel with her. I thank you now that she's healed. Now, I said, Linda, can you do me a favor? And she says, what? I says, can you just thank the Lord right now that it's removed? And she did. So I just let her in a simple confession. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name that my wrist is healed and that cyst is plucked up and removed. Okay, now she doesn't have idle words. She has working words. Okay, now I want you to go to Numbers 13, verse 1, and I want to give you a classic text in the Old Testament on this subject. It'll help you immensely. One of the reasons why I teach so much on the area of confession is it's just like the Lord told Brother Hagin. My people aren't basically missing it in the believing part. They're missing it in the saying part. The saying part is the release of your faith. That's how your faith is released. And the life that we're living now in the flesh, we're living by the faith of the Son of God. So the activation of your faith, and I'll say it over and over and over because people don't get it, because if you've ever ministered to people, I'm telling you what happens. They get closed-lipped. Yeah, they have an issue with saying things. That's why I'm so animate about it. Like I said last service, it shouldn't take us a whole year, 2 years of people sitting in healing school to get them healed. It was just a few minutes at the dining room table that she ended up getting healed. Actually, she didn't tell me until a year later. And we were at their house again for dinner, and I forgot completely about it, and we're sitting there talking. It was just me and her, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost brought it to my remembrance, and I looked at her wrist. And this thought came into my mind. She probably went and got it lanced again and drained. And that's how real that thought was. So I said to her, I says, Linda, I says, where'd that cyst go? She says, oh, I told you. I says, you didn't tell me nothing. She says, yes, I did. I said, no, you didn't tell me anything. Yeah, she says, I told my mom, my dad. I told Betty, which is my father or my mother-in-law, and Paul, which was my father-in-law, and she told her sister. I shared that testimony about that girl that had the Hopkins disease. Well, it was Linda's sister's daughter that had this, and this is the reason why they asked my wife and I to come minister to, because Linda got healed of this cyst. And I said, Linda, you didn't tell me that. She says, yes, I did. I said, no, you didn't. I says, what happened? She says, well, it disappeared. I says, okay, it disappeared. I mean, immediately, over a period of time. You know, I want to know that. She says, well, it was about probably 7 days, about a week, she said. I said, did it disappear? She says, no. I says, well, how did it go? She says, it just gradually went down. And about the seventh day, it was completely gone. Praise God. Somebody says, well, that ain't a cripple being healed, but I'm going to tell you something. If you don't start in the small things, you might as well forget it, because you won't even minister to a cripple. And I'll tell you this, if the Holy Ghost comes on you and you've never had any acquaintance with them, I guarantee you ain't going to move, because you'll be fearful, because you don't know if it's him or not. You have to learn these things from the start. I remember a guy said this to me. He says, I believe God's going to raise me or use me to raise people from the dead. And I thought to myself, you won't even get involved in the prayer ministry. You know, and you follow what I'm saying? You know, if you never start, you got to start where you're at. You know, so and I didn't say nothing to him. I just smiled and I just thought, you know, the church we were attending to, they had the open door if you wanted to hook up with the prayer ministry, because my wife and I taught on the prayer ministry and healing. You can come on in, you know. And I noticed he never had any type of interest in that. And I thought to myself, I doubt very highly if the Lord will use you along that line.
That's true.
He's looking for somebody who'll start stepping out
That's
on the
right.
water.
Amen.
And you start where you're at. Don't be afraid. That's right. We'll go to Numbers 13 and we'll see this being manifest in the Old Testament. Verse 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, key words here, which I give unto the children of Israel. It's just like the Word of God says, that by your stripes he is healed. This nation just come out of Egypt. They seen all the manifestations of God and deliverances. They seen 10 judgments come down on the nation Israel. I mean, it's enough to rock your house, baby. Hey, when I worked with Ruth Fisher, man, it used to rock my house. But when I used to see manifestations of the Holy Ghost, I couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't wait to the next healing service. Because you never knew what was going to happen. You knew people were going to get healed, but you didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't know if they're going to pop out of a wheelchair or pop out of the seat or what. And it was exciting. And these individuals seen the manifest presence of the living God in at work. So he says here, I give this land at Canaan, that's the promised land, unto the children of Israel. And every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, one, a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. And those men were heads of the children of Israel. So what's happened is God gives them this promised land. He says, now what I want you to do is I want you to take heads of every tribe. So there's 12. They're commissioned to go spy out the land, see if what God's been telling Moses is true. God says, I'm going to let you see it. All right, now verse 18, it says here, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that dwell in, whether it be good or bad, in what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. Strongholds are walled cities. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of a good courage. So he's allowing them to see everything, and he makes that declaration, be ye of good courage, and he made the statement that I've already given it to you. It is a promise from Jehovah Lord God to the people. Be ye of a good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes, so it's harvest time. And they're getting a chance to go in there, spy the land out. And we go to verse 25 here for the sake of time. We're skipping some verses, but in your own time, read the whole accounts in 13 and 14. And they returned from the searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them. That's a key verse. And brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. So there's 12 spies coming back, or 12 that were allowed to go in to spy out the land. They're coming back with a report, and they have a word, and they have evidence about the land. Now let's see what they say here. And they told him, that's Moses, and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. That's a pretty good report. God says, go in, spy it out. And he went down there, see whether the land is, you know, what I said it is. They come back. That statement's a pretty good report. That statement's in line with what God already declared here in verses 18 and 19. Then it goes on to say in verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, he ain't done yet. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, the children of Anak were the giants, half-breed between an angel and a human. That's why they were giants. And verse 29 says, and the Amalekites dwelled in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell
in the land and the mountains. And the Canaanites dwelled by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. He was probably screaming, "Shut up, shut up," to still the people. They got a negative report. Nevertheless, there's giants in the land. So Caleb's taking authority over what's going on in the congregation. So Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, remember, idle, inoperative words. By your words, you're going to be justified. By your words, you're going to be condemned. An evil man from the evil deposits of his heart, he flings forth evil things. A good man from the good deposits of his heart, he flings forth good things. You got two contradictory things going here. You got an evil report and you got a good report. Remember this, the scripture always interprets scripture, and I always say that when I'm teaching. This is where you get the foundational truth. What is a good report and what is an evil report? This helps you understand Matthew 12. The good man and the evil man, flinging forth good things, flinging forth evil things. The congregation of the 12, well, it'd be 10 because there's two that had a different report. There's 10 of them spewing forth evil reports. Yeah. Yeah. Caleb's got to still the people, calm them down and remind them of the promise. You're ministering to people that are sick and you're saying, you know, the Lord took that infirmity for you. He was made a curse for us. Yeah, but the doctor, he's really saying that, this is a serious condition here. And, you know, see, what has happened is you're giving a good report and they're giving an evil report. Nothing wrong with doctor reports. But when you're ministering to the sick, you're relying on the Lord. Your trust is in the Lord. Amen. And you have to change the report that's coming out of their mouth. Because what they're doing now is flinging forth words. They're not idle, but they're working. But they're working the wrong way. So Caleb ends up stealing the people, and he says, listen to what he says, "Let us go up at once and possess it." That's like when we have altar calls. If anyone needs healing, come and get it. Possess it. Come take what's yours. Come up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now remember what the scripture says, that your faith is the victory that overcometh the world. It's your faith that overcomes the flesh. It's your faith that overcomes the devil. It's your faith that overcomes sickness and disease. It's your faith that overcomes lack and want. It's your faith that overcomes any issue that you're dealing with that's negative, that's stealing your joy. We are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, this is the other 10, because you'll find out that Joshua had the same report as Caleb. We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 1 in the 13th chapter says, go into the land which I giveth unto the children of Israel. That was the promise. That was the decree from God. The 10 that actually spied the land out are saying, we're not able to go up. The people, for they are stronger than we. What are they flinging forth? Evil. An evil report. You have to change people's words if you're going to get them healed. And let me say this, it's hard to get them healed without ministering the word, because you're trying to reap a harvest where there's no seed been sown in their heart. Same with salvation. You'll never get a sinner saved unless you share the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You've got to sow that seed in their heart, then get them to confess. Verse 32 says this, and they brought up an evil report.
There's how you start having the proper interpretation of the Word of God when you read evil in the Bible, especially with Matthew 12 here, what we just read.
For they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it out is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature.
More evil report. Flinging forth words that are actually binding them, which are actually starting to paint a picture. The ten started it, now the whole congregation is following suit. Yeah. Caleb's trying to steal the people and get them to change and see what God has said and be of courage. It takes courage to minister to people. I'd be lying if I didn't say that. You got to step out of the boat. It's just like the gifts of the Spirit. If you feel like God's moving on you to give a tongue or interpretation or a prophecy, you got to step out and give it. He's waiting on you. It takes that act of faith. Verse 33 says this, and we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So they have an image that they're real small. And the giants, naturally speaking, they were big. Naturally speaking, yeah, they were stronger. There was walled cities there. But God says, I've already given you the land. It was part of their inheritance. Healing's part of your inheritance. There's going to be strongholds that you have to deal with. There's strongholds in the mind where you got to cast every vain imagination and thought down that's contrary to what the promise says. And I'll say this, it's easier said than done. You know, when a person's diagnosed with stage four cancer, I remembered I was asked to minister to a woman, and I said, yeah, I'd go, and they gave her 2 weeks to live. Well, I go to her house, and her husband's there, and he greets me and all that, and I start ministering the word to her, and she has a wrap on her head. And I says, what are you diagnosed with? She says, with cancer. So she takes this thing off her head, and she had these tumors about the size of my baby finger sticking out of her head in different places, and it spread to the rest of her body. When I began to minister to her, she wasn't really receiving much what I was saying, but her husband was. And actually, Keith has a blue book here. I recommend everybody to get it. It's Brother Hagin's Bible study course on faith. I gave them a copy of it because when I minister, I like them to, you know, read and just continue to feed their faith. Well, he read the book. She didn't. And I seen him about a week later, and he came up to me. He says, I don't know if I'm missing this or not, Dan, but he says, boy, there's a lot of emphasis in this book about what you say. I says, yeah, that's the whole crux of faith. That's how it operates. And if you don't understand it, you ain't getting nothing. Now, I like to say I got a heal, but I didn't. She ended up dying probably a week and a half later. But I was called, like, when they've already told her she only had like 2 weeks to live. But the point I'm bringing out was he received, she didn't. I don't even know if she read the book or put any effort into it. So you have to have the foundation of the word going into individuals. Now verse 14, or chapter 14 here, verse 1 says this, and the children and the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Look what that report did. It made them cry and weep. the whole congregation of Israel, from 10 people coming back that were told to be courageous and were to come back and affirm what they saw in the land and confirm that it harmonized with what God said. But their negative report, their evil report, caused people to cry. Doctor reports cause people to cry and weep. And like I said, I don't belittle anything that the doctor, they're just telling you the truth from the natural. But you have to realize that you got to know what the promise says to get their soul anchored, because they're being bombarded in their mind. Now, verse 2 says this, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said, now let's watch this, unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. Now they seen the Red Sea split. They seen the 10 judgments come down on the nation of Egypt. Now listen to the way they're talking. They're flinging this forth. Verse 3, and wherefore has the Lord brought us unto the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? That's like people said, I had it better off when I was a sinner. I never had issues until I got saved. Yeah, because the adversary's coming to steal the word that's been planted in your heart. You're going to go through tests and trials. Just know this. There's two things that happen when you minister to people on healing. People get healed and people get sick. Well, how can people get sick if they're healing the healing word? Because Satan's coming to steal it. What are you going to do about the affliction? You're going to stand against it, or are you going to let them run over you? Verse 4 says, and they said to one another. Now it's getting personal. They're talking with one another. Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land, rent their clothes. So you got Moses and Aaron falling on their face, and you got Caleb and Joshua renting their clothes off. Caleb, stealing the people. I'm sure he was screaming, shut up. Be quiet. You know, when you got a lot of people, you got to be loud. Yeah. I like to see this. You got Moses and Aaron on their face making intercession, and you got Caleb and Joshua just, just coming unglued. Verse 7, and they spake. Let's see what Joshua and Caleb said. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying. Let's see what they're flinging forth. And let me ask you this, when we read this in your own mind, ask yourself, is it a good report or an evil report? The land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not. Two of them had sense. Two of the 12 had sense. Two of the 12 out of the whole congregation had sense. I remember when I was with Ruth Fisher, we went to this church, and she said to me, Dan, it's a denominational church. It's a mainline church. But this pastor wants me to come. This pastor see me on CTV. And I says, okay. You know, so we go to this church. I'm introduced to the pastor in the lobby, and I had to go to the men's room. I go in the men's room. He comes into the men's room. And we come back to the sink. I'm washing my hands, and I said, I'm sure you're going to be blessed tonight, Pastor, you know, in the healing service. I says, they're wonderful services. Then he got to me, he says, yeah, but salvation's the best thing. I thought, honestly, God, it must blew me away. I thought to myself, why do you want to choose? What do you want to pick and choose for when the whole package has been given to you? Just take the whole thing. Yeah, salvation's a bet. And he said it in a way I thought to myself, boy, this is going to be one of them services. But it was a good service. I don't know if it ever changed his mind, but it was a good service. Verse 9, only rebel not, ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from us, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Good or bad report? Good or evil report? Good. Thank you, Joshua and Caleb. Notice only two out of the whole congregation. You preach this message to the body of Christ, I'm talking to the whole, taking all the denominations. There ain't too many that receive it. You take the message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm coming right down where you live. You preach it to every denomination. There's only a few in the scope of the whole Christian community receive it. Prosperity, same way. Casting out devils, oh, God forbid that. We're not even going to go there. This is a golden text, man. This just paints the whole picture of the body of Christ. You got a few guys that have been called by God, start preaching the message of faith, and you got almost every mainline denomination criticizing them, putting them down. And you go to their services, people are getting healed, filled with the Spirit, dancing in the Holy Ghost, manifestations. You fall in love with God because God shows up. Amen. Instead of going to an old, cold, dead church where nothing's happening, I'd rather go home and read my Bible myself than go to them. I've been in them. I've been in a lot of them. That's why I like this church. I've told Pastor Keith, I don't care the size of it. I would rather have 20 people, Spirit-filled, flow in the Holy Ghost, and worship God and have His presence show up than have 5,000, and you're looking around and you're wondering, there's nothing ever happens in here. Nothing ever happens in here. That's right. They don't want it to happen. Verse 10, but all the congregation bade, now watch what they say, stone them! Stone them! Stone them! They're preaching heresy. Stone them! And the glory of the Lord appeared. Thank God God showed up, huh? In the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, I love this, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them. Signs are for a purpose. Just like you got signs out here, 376 West. You follow it, it points you to 376 West. Signs point you to God. Signs and wonders. They saw the signs and wonders, the splitting of the Red Sea, the manna, the quails being sent. Provision, supernatural provision when there was none. This is what God's saying. They still won't believe me. I've showed them all these signs. Signs point you to something. Verse 12, and I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a great nation and mightier than they. He's talking to Moses. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face. Moses would speak face to face with them. And that they... That thou cloud standest over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Not only did they see the manifestations that took place with the Red Sea and the judgments, God's physical presence in the day was manifested in a pillar of a cloud. Now, I never seen the Lord. I'm trying to get you to get realize where these people were at. There's a cloud. When that cloud moved, they followed the cloud. They saw that. Moses talked face to face with the Lord. When he come out, you better listen to what the dude had to say. And at night, it was a pillar of fire. I'm setting a foundation to see where they were and why God was angry. Now, how long am I going to deal with this people? I've done all these signs and wonders for them. They still don't believe me. Now, let's go to verse 23. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land. In other words, judgment's coming down now. I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Now watch what he says. But my servant, notice he calls Caleb his servant. But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Not only Caleb, but because of Caleb and his spirit, his seed's going to profit from his obedience. Okay, now we'll just hold it right there. Now I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 4:13 and see what kind of spirit he had. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. The spirit of faith is recognizable. Yes, it is. Write it down. One day when I was meditating that, the Lord said to me, the spirit of faith is recognizable. You can see when people say things. When they keep their mouths shut, there's no spirit of faith about them. The spirit of faith always speaks. And notice it says, I believed, which is past tense. Therefore have I spoken, which is past tense. We also believe, and therefore speak. So you have a past tense and you have a present tense. The Bible says we're to hold fast our confession of faith without wavering. Let me help you see it this way. If you're standing for healing, Marty, I believed. Yesterday was Saturday. I believed, therefore I spoke. Father, I thank you that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I thank you that Christ redeemed me from the curse of cancer. I say cancer can't live in my body. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. That's Saturday. Today, Sunday, that was past tense. Today, Sunday, present tense. I believe, and therefore I will speak. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name that Christ redeemed me from the curse of cancer, and that cancer can't kill me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Tomorrow comes. Monday, present tense. But I look back to Sunday, past tense. I believed, and therefore I spoken. Today is present tense, Monday. I believe, and therefore I speak. Father, I just give you praise and thanks
Hands have been laid on me. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'll live and not die. Satan, take your hands off my body. You can't have me. I'm holding fast to the confession of my faith without wavering. Tuesday comes. Present tense. I believe and therefore I speak. Father, I just thank you that I am whole. I am delivered. Your word is, you're faithful to your word. When I look back to Monday, it was past tense. I believed and therefore have I spoken. Do you get that? The past tense and the present tense. That's how you recognize the spirit of faith. If it ain't there, it ain't the spirit of faith. You following what I'm saying? If you're ministering to somebody, they won't open their mouth. Unless you have a manifestation of the Holy Ghost where God by His grace just moves. So my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit, I'm going to allow him to enter the land and I'm going to allow his descendants to enter the land. And it goes on to say, verse 25, then the Amorites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow, turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Verse 26, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Now, Joshua and Caleb were evil. Okay, they were spiritually dead men. Okay, but their report wasn't evil. Their report was in line with God's word. How long am I going to deal with this evil congregation which murmurs against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they have murmured against me. Now, this is my favorite verse in this whole account. Verse 28. Circle it, underline it, highlight it. Say unto them, Moses, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Now listen to this. The J.M. Smith translation of that verse says this, I will do to you just as I have heard you say. Jerusalem's translation says this, say to them, it is Yahweh who speaks. I will deal with you. Boy, that's good. According to the very words you have used in my hearing. Every idle, non-producing, non-working word, men will give an account for. By your word, you're going to be justified. By your word, you're going to be condemned. I will deal with you today with the words that you're using in my ear. Getting back to the example I just gave you about the present tense and the past tense. Yesterday, I thanked the Lord. When I speak tomorrow, the anointing will come quickly. I thank you for receptive hearts. I thank you for supernatural recall of your word, Father, and I'll be speaking by the divine inspiration of your spirit. That was yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that, because I was preparing. And this morning when I woke up, which was present tense, I thank you for the anointing. Thank you for your word. It'll go forth unhindered because I'm trusting him for utterance to get the sick healed. Amen. Sometimes it's just the way somebody says something and all of a sudden the light comes on. Now this verse right here in 28 should shed some light about what God says in Isaiah the 28th chapter. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near. The one who's far off is the Gentile. The one who's near was the Jew. He goes on to say, I create the fruit of the lips. That's how you get saved. The one that's far off, all you got to say is, Jesus, you're my healer. The one that's close who's the Jew, Jesus, you're my healer. I create the fruit of the lips and I'll deal with you according to the words you use, you use, you use in my ear. What are you using? You have to get them to see they got to use words. What words are you using? We still got time. Are we up?
Just two more minutes.
Two, okay. Let's do this. Let's lead. Have them lay hands on themselves. Let's lead in a minute confession.
Okay. Okay, we gotta do our service today. So everybody lay hands on themselves. And I'll lead you in a prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, according to Numbers 14:28, you're dealing with me according to the very words that I use in your ear. I thank you that I am healed
by the stripes of Jesus.
In every sickness and every disease,
he bore for me.
He willfully gave his back
to the smiters for me.
So that healing and health
would be granted to me.
I thank you that I am healed.
I have the spirit of faith.
And I believe.
And therefore have I spoken.
I thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the
Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up for a minute here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Wonderful teaching. Glory to God. We will have the teaching on CD for next Sunday. We're going to make several copies.